I've had so many thoughts about the gospel reading for today. And I've actually discussed this reading with a number of people. And after close scrutiny, I'm motivated to reflect with you on what it means to be a penitent sinner searching for God's grace. How do we acknowledge our faults and at the same time have the courage, have the nerve to come before God to ask for his grace and for his mercy? The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector describes these two persons as two opposites throughout the entire story. These two persons are placed in contrast to each other. And this challenges us to think about what it means to be a follower of Christ. It challenges us to think about what would be considered worthy in the sight of God. And it also draws our attention to the way we pray. The Pharisee. There are a few things that we could say about the Pharisee. First of all, the Pharisee praises himself, doesn't he? The Pharisee despises others. And one can draw the conclusion that the Pharisee could be a bit judgmental. The Pharisee's prayer of thanks was not really gratitude, but an expression of his pride in himself as he talks about his own merits and his own virtues. That might be culture shock to many, but I recall some years ago putting my resume together, and I haven't written a resume in years, but a piece of feedback that I got is that you need to sort of expand a bit on what you've done and use some keywords, the same keywords that appear in the job description. You have to show that your skills are compatible. But in some cultures, that's not the way it's done. And I'm not here to compare or contrast, but I'm just saying that quite often we are urged to highlight our accomplishments. And so I can imagine the Pharisee following that example and talking about his own merits and virtues. We hear from the story that the Pharisee praises himself by giving a list of all the good things he has done. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income, he says, as he talks about fulfilling his religious obligations. Now, it is quite important to acknowledge humble service as it sets an example for others, but it is certainly another issue to compare ourselves with others and try to show how much better we are than others in the church, in the community, and in our families. This kind of prayer is overbearing and self-righteous. And it is certainly not useful to compare ourselves with others, for the only standard of perfection is the earthly ministry of Jesus, God in human form. And I am certain that we will all fall short when we make that comparison. I say clearly that some of us might even be humiliated when we notice our own limitations compared to the life of Jesus. That's a summary of that aspect of the Pharisee. But then there's a tax collector. We are told that he stood at a distance when he entered the temple. And we are probably aware that in some traditions up to today, people either stand or kneel. We don't have comfortable pews and padded chairs. Standing or kneeling in places of worship. And as I read these words, I could not help myself from thinking about those of us who take standing at a distance literally. and seriously to justify sitting in the good Anglican seats at the back of the church. You know, wherever we go in Anglican churches, there are some reserved seats at the back, and they're in demand. But allow me to get personal with everyone today and say, friend, come up higher and use the good seats around the middle of the sanctuary. But on a serious note, let us all bear in mind that despite our past, despite our faults, we are worthy of God's grace and God's mercy. The tax collector acknowledges his own worthlessness and sinfulness, and he casts his eyes down as he strikes his breast and asks God for mercy. And these signs of shame and remorse are evident in many traditions and for some cultural groups. Now, in our corporate worship here on Sundays, we also confess our sins together. And we're going to be doing that again today as we ask for God's forgiveness before we are at peace with God, at peace with our neighbors, and at peace with ourselves. Like the tax collector, the confession of our faults opens the way for God to forgive us. And our reliance on God for forgiveness is certainly a reminder that we are made whole, not on our own merit and because we deserve it, but rather by recognizing and confessing our faults and mistakes, and by acknowledging the need for God's grace and for God's mercy. I must say that it could be quite attractive for us as readers of this parable to identify with the Pharisee or with the tax collector, isn't it? However, there are probably some traits of both characters in all of us. But today I'm also challenging us to think about what we can learn from the Pharisee, despite his egocentric behavior and lack of humility. So this is what I would suggest, three things that we can learn from the Pharisee in our walk with Christ. First of all, the Pharisee was reliable. The Pharisee was reliable. You can count on his tithes and offerings for the work of the temple. He was reliable. Secondly, the Pharisee followed the rules as best he could. He followed the canons of the church. He followed the bishop's guidance and leadership. Yes, he followed the rules as best he could, working in collaboration and in cohesion with others. The Pharisee drew attention to his good works. And the positive thing about that is that it could also motivate others to use their gifts in the service of others. In the Diocese of Toronto, there is what is called the Order of the Diocese of Toronto, and two of our members here have received that order. Not in a self-serving way, but as collective recognition from the diocese of the work of this parish through people who serve here. So there are some good things. Reliability, being in cohesion with others, and also focusing on the importance of doing things in addition to praying about them. All good, isn't it? But it should be for the right reasons, not out of pride and to draw attention to oneself. As I was reflecting on people who I know who have certainly been good examples of doing work quietly behind the scenes, I couldn't help but think of two dear family friends who have now departed this life. The man's name is Desmond, the woman's name is Dolly. Faithful in the United Church of Canada. And you'd never know when you meet Desmond and Dolly how much they've been involved in, how much they've helped, how much they've worked diligently behind the scenes. We pray that among us, and we know that among us, there are persons who work faithfully, doing God's work. Not out of pride, not to draw attention to oneself, but because of their faithful service to God. Last week we talked about prayer, and that some of us have difficulty in finding the words to say. And I'm suggesting that today's parable gives us a model of prayer in 7 words from someone of low social rank who is despised as an outcast in society. And you know the 7 words. You've heard them. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It is a complete prayer, isn't it? And a reminder that sometimes simple is good. For on close examination, we realize that this short prayer of 7 words includes the key elements: who, what, and why. Who? God. God is the one to whom this prayer is addressed, the one to whom we are praying in thanksgiving, or perhaps asking for help. Who? What? What are we asking for? We're asking for God's mercy and forgiveness. Who? What? Why? Because I'm a sinner in search of God's grace. Clear and concise, isn't it? We don't have to be long. God knows. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In some worshiping traditions, people often go for personal confession in the presence of a priest before participation in sacramental worship like Holy Communion. However, our collective confession during worship is a common practice in the church. And once we have acknowledged our sins and asked for forgiveness, the way is open for us to be at peace with God and with each other. For God offers relief from our burden of sin through our confession. So today we can learn from both the Pharisee and the tax collector. However, we are assured that our loving God looks favorably on the humble and the disadvantaged in society, not the proud and the self-righteous. For if anyone should be humble, it is a follower of Christ. One perspective is that the Pharisee did not go to the temple to pray, but rather to get recognition for who he was and all that he has done. But the tax collector went to the temple recognizing his sin and with a desire to beg for God's compassion. I'm suggesting that today's gospel is a reminder to us to remain humble servants of Christ, despite our pride in what is accomplished through our faithful service, and that we must always ensure to give all the glory to God. And I'm sure that you're familiar with this hymn, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." So let us approach our Lord as penitent sinners, searching for God's grace. And we can say with confidence to our loving Savior, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And God's people will say, "Thanks be to God." Amen.